Welcome back to the D-Fly and Dixie podcast featuring Big Ten Network, ESPN, Inside Lacrosse Analyst, and my old friend, Mark Dixon. I am your host, Dan Flynn. Great show on tap. So, Dixie, let's get it. Dixie, I loved hearing you call the game on Sunday. It's such a great product. Really enjoy watching those. And I just come away looking at it, thinking how impressive the Maryland Terrapins are this season.
It's definitely been the theme. Every week, they seem to outdo themselves. And I think it started with that Virginia game, winning 23-12. And it's just snowballed from there. Here you have a Rutgers team coming into College Park, averaging 16 and a half goals a game. One of the best goaltenders in the country. Really an experienced group and a group that has a number of impact transfers, just like Maryland does. And 5-0, 4.5 minutes into the game, Rutgers scored 2 to make it 5-2. And then they got a possession and could have trimmed it to 5-3. It goes the other way. And then really, for all intents and purposes, like the game was kind of over at that point. Like that's how quickly Maryland just puts you in such a bad bind. But, you know, I think it's important to remember there's still a lot of lacrosse left to be played. I've got Maryland again this weekend against Ohio State, another team that is playing good lacrosse right now and has some weapons. And always plays with a chip on their shoulder. We'll talk to Nick Myers later on in the podcast. And you know, a lot can happen between now and championship weekend, injuries and all that kind of stuff. But right now, I can't remember a team that has been this dominant in the regular season, probably since 2006, the University of Virginia, when they were just running roughshod through everyone. And of course they finished perfect and won an NCAA championship. Obviously we're not there yet with Maryland, but everything we've seen has been super impressive.
You know, is the thing that kind of shocked me a little bit is Wisnowskis becoming Terps all-time leading scorer. I think that snuck up on a lot of people, and he certainly had an incredible career and he's not done yet. He will add to that total and really put some distance between him and Jared Bernhardt. But when you think about who's been breaking that record, Matt Rambo, Twarden winner, Jared Bernhardt, Twarden winner, and there are multiple All-Americans. And you think of Wisnowskis, and he was the third team All-American last year.
You know, Rambo, and it's just, I think it's fair. Rambo was like the face of the program for a couple of years. Number one recruit. Mm-hmm. Back when you could be recruited when you, hit puberty. And, so everyone knew about Matt Rambo for ages. Jared Bernhardt, a next generation kind of athlete playing lacrosse. Logan Wisnowskis, his nickname is Groot. That's his nickname. And he's a big guy. He's not particularly fast. He's not the greatest shooter. He's not as strong, maybe like pound for pound as Rambo. He's not a great assist guy, but he's a guy, and I'm going to use the word, he's just worked his ass off for years now to round himself into a complete player. So for me to see him get that record, that was kind of cool, because talking with John Tillman, I know his father, I know how hard he's worked. And remember, he started his career at Syracuse and it didn't work out. And he left Syracuse and he came to Maryland as a shooter for the most part. And he's developed into really, a complete player in addition to, being one of that Terrapin team leader. So I totally understand what you're saying. I completely get it. He might not have like some of the pop that Rambo and Bernhardt have, but he's just done it quietly. He's operated, really quietly. And, He's been impressive.
You know who he reminds me a little bit? His offensive coordinator, Bobby Benson.
Except he doesn't spend his living on the crease, pretending to get pushed and carrying on with the red. No, Bobby was as good as it gets on the crease, around the goal. big body. I mean, you know, even played for Team USA back in the early 2000s.
Am I off in that comparison in terms of their body type and sort of how they have worked really, they worked really hard to make themselves top players?
I think the physical characteristics, I think, are fair. I do think Logan, with all respect to Coach Benson, Logan is a better all-around lacrosse player than Bobby was. But still, I mean, Bobby Benson got the most out of everything that he did.
There were some significant midweek games, Dix, that I want to go over. We recorded this. We changed our recording time so that we could cover the Duke-Virginia game. Duke with a big win. We'll get to that in a second. But let's start on Monday's games when Cornell beat Syracuse in overtime, 16-15. And Syracuse took a big lead. Cornell slowly worked their way back into the game and won it in overtime. A good win for Cornell, especially when they're coming off of a good win on Saturday against Harvard and then coming back on a Monday and winning this game. But it's more of almost a very significant loss for Syracuse and may have just been the final nail in their coffin on the 2022 season.
Cornell, first of all, that was a really fun game to watch. I watched it with my younger son, Owen. We watched the entire second half together. We were just thoroughly entertained. Thought Anish and Ryan Boyle did a great job calling the game. It was just like, it's like Monday night lacrosse.
Yeah, it was nice.
What else do you have to do on Monday night, you know, and to get a great lacrosse game? So I think it was a huge win for Cornell for the reasons that you mentioned. And also that's short rest. I mean, that is short rest to go from Saturday, a hard fought game against Harvard, and then turn around, you have to go to the dome and play a Syracuse team that came out with a lot of energy, a lot of emotion. I mean, look, it's a two man band for Syracuse right now, Tucker Dordovic and Brendan Curry. And once Cornell was able to settle in, you know, establish a tempo, get a rhythm going, they, you know, you kind of were like, yeah, they're going to win this game. You know, I mean, Dordovic and Curry did everything they could, but at the end, you know, Cornell got the W. Gary Gate is just so mellow on the sideline, like just so almost tranquil. And Dave Petromala was constantly in the camera shots, you know, and I even said to Owen, I'm like, they know that Coach Petro is not the head coach, right? But, you know, he's so animated, he's so engaged, you know, so he's easy to follow that way. And, you know, you got Gary in the shirt and tie, just kind of like, you know, chilling and I guess being cerebral. So that was interesting to watch. But again, a really fun game. And yeah, you know, look, Syracuse's record is what it is. The other numbers aren't great. So, you know, it may take a miracle. You know, and that loss to Albany was tough. I mean, that loss to Albany really, really hurt them. You know, a couple days. Well, that was like a Thursday night or a Friday night game last week?
I think it was the middle of last week.
Yeah. So, and Albany was jacked for that. First time Syracuse has come to their place to play. They were fired up and they got the job done. So, yeah, you know, look, it's been but this is not unexpected.
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of, you know, all the Syracuse fans were pretty upset about Syracuse preseason rankings. Well, you know, as Dennis Green would say, they are who they thought were, or they are, whatever. Yeah, that
remember, statement. Who did they beat? Was it Holy Cross? They beat
Holy Cross 28-5. Yeah. And everybody's coming after Terry Foy. Like, you know, he's public enemy number one.
That was funny. That was wasn't that long ago, but it seems like the season goes fast. Things change week to week, and that's why as a fan you got to really pay attention, because it's always an action-packed world of college lacrosse.
It is.
In another game on Tuesday, we don't have to get to it too much, but Notre Dame got a solid win, beating Marquette 18-8. But the big game was in the ACC this afternoon. Duke 17, Virginia 8. I was surprised by the score in a major way. It was close in the first quarter, and Duke really pulled away in the second and third. Mike Adler had an awesome game and goal for Duke, and that seemed to really make a big difference.
Second week in a row that Adler has had you know, double, high double-digit saves. What, I think he had 20 against Virginia. You know, he had I can't remember the stats from the win against the University of North Carolina, but Adler's on. You know, he's really on. And then you had the game against Notre Dame where they lost, what, 16-15, sandwiched in between that Carolina and Virginia wins, and Adler played okay, not terrific. But, you know, I think he just shows when he's seeing the ball and making saves, you know, Duke is a tough team to beat. Maybe no team has been more frustrating or more difficult to figure out than Duke. But that game against Virginia just belonged to them. You know, it belonged to them. I didn't get to watch a lot of it. I was working with the start time being moved up to 1 o'clock. Here's what I'll say about that. That whenever you move a game from 7 p.m. to 1 p.m., I had a situation a couple weeks ago where I was supposed to call Rutgers women against Michigan, the women for Big Ten Network at Rutgers, and they moved the game. It was supposed to be a 7 o'clock start. They moved it to noon. And Rutgers, not that they weren't going to win the game anyway, but it's two very evenly matched teams, and Rutgers won that game. And they started out really, really well. Similar to Duke, like, you know, Duke was a close game early, then Duke just kind of pulled away the final two and a half, three quarters. What I'm getting at is when you, it's difficult enough to travel in conference, but when you move those games up, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours, I think it really has an effect on the traveling team. I really do. And they have to change their itinerary. They have to change everything that they do. Whereas, yeah, okay, you know, if you're at Duke, you know, if you're at Rutgers, maybe I have to get out of class earlier, or I have to get up to, you know, for treatment earlier, for shoot around earlier. But I mean, you know, you got to change everything when you're the visiting team in that situation. So I do think that has an adverse effect on teams when you change those start times like that.
It certainly makes sense. I mean, you're right. It's tough enough playing road games, especially in conference, and then you mix up some of the variables and push the game forward. Especially if you push it back a little bit, yeah, everyone's kind of waiting around. But
right.
I'm just amazed as a former athletic administrator, it's not easy to move something like this.
No,
up, down, back, it doesn't matter. But you know, there's so many moving parts. There's the officials. There's the games up being televised or broadcast. That team of people. There's the stadium workers, the operations, you know, is that field supposed to be used for other practices or games, you know, and to be able to adjust on the fly like that, it's hard. And then you got to deal with the other team. Like, hey, are you okay? If we move this game up, can you make it here? Will you be here? And, you know, they're doing it, you know, within a 24-hour window.
Well, I know for the Rutgers Michigan women's situation a couple weeks ago, I know like the coaches were in consultation with each other. And Michigan had already arrived in Piscataway. It was either the night before or early morning of the game.
You remember earlier this season, we were talking to Matt Malone, and they were
Princeton before Rutgers.
The Rutgers yep. game. And we were scheduled to have an interview with Coach Malone, and he was busy trying to get that his game with Rutgers moved up a whole day. I think
he was on the phone with Brian Breck
yeah.
Before he talked to us. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, at the end of the day, you want the safety and the well-being of the student athletes is paramount. And in addition to all the people, you know, that you mentioned, the stadium workers and the officials and the
fans.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I do think it puts the traveling team, the visiting team at a severe disadvantage.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And, you know, if you want to add your home field advantage a little bit.
Yeah.
Switch the game time up again. And that might be what just pushes you over the edge. But in any case, this is the Duke team that everyone thought that we would be seeing earlier in the preseason and early in the year. And, you know, I've been critical of the ACC this season. I don't think they have a lot of good wins outside of their conference. And, you know, Notre Dame being up on a Syracuse team that's struggling, that's not an impressive win to me. You know, it's not when Syracuse is losing to Albany, you know, out of conference. So to see a Duke get a top 10 win over a team that I think is really good is a significant win and a real boost for Duke's resume.
They needed this W. They desperately needed this win. You know, losses to Jacksonville and Loyola, that Duke needed a top 10, top wherever you want to put Virginia, you know, where Virginia's ranked this week, but definitely a top 10 team, if not top five. But now, does this put Virginia in kind of danger zone of maybe not being a top eight seed? When you look at the way the Ivies are going and you look at the way, a couple Big Ten teams are going.
A loss to Richmond a couple weeks ago. Loss to Richmond,
yeah, sure.
And they've got what? I know they have Lafayette left on their schedule.
That doesn't help your RPI.
No. Quinnipiac as well, I believe. I think they played Quinnipiac. Not going to help them. So we're going to have to see how it plays out for the Cavaliers.
Well, let's get to the games this weekend. There's four top 20 matchups highlighting a Saturday schedule that's, again, loaded with important conference clashes up and down the schedule. We'll start with a noon face-off in the Patriot League, where number 16 Boston U comes down to Baltimore. BU's 8-3, 5-0 in the Patriot League. They'll face a Loyola team that's 4-1 and on the verge of first place in the Patriot League, or at least a tie with the win over the Terriers. And it's a big game.
Yeah, it's kind of a log jam up top. BU 5-0, then you've got 4-1s, Loyola, Army, and Lehigh. So really a battle for those top four seeds. BU, tough stretch lately, losses to Yale and Princeton. But, I mean, dude, you want to talk about a team really testing itself, getting itself ready for, continuing conference play and then postseason play. You know, that's the Terriers. And they face off very, very well with Connor Calderon. You know, they're facing a Loyola team that torched Navy last weekend. They were up 9-1 at the end of one quarter. Just came out like gangbusters. So Loyola has been kind of up and down all year, a little inconsistent. Can they keep that consistent high-level performance this weekend against BU? It's going to be a terrific game. I'm going to be there for the beginning. Hopefully you catch like the first quarter-ish before heading to my game down in College Park. But, big-time Patriot League game happening at Ridley. On ESPN Plus too, this Saturday.
I love the way the Greyhounds are streaking. Well, they've won five of the last six. Yeah, and by the way, Lehigh also undefeated at 5-0 in the Patriot League.
I'm sorry. I apologize to the Mountain Hawks. I thought that's right. They beat Army and they have not lost a Patriot game. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, that seems to be the cream. The dividing line is Boston U, Lehigh, Army, Loyola. Top four seeds, all of those teams with either undefeated or one loss. And then you get down to Navy, who's in fifth place at 2-3.
Yeah.
So there seems to be a sort of the cream has risen
in right.
The Patriot League. Big game. That'll be at noon on Saturday. In the Ivy League, number four, Yale, 3-1 in the Ivy League, will travel to number 17, Brown. 1-2 in the Ivy League, but coming off of a huge win last week. That game's at 1 p.m. You can catch that on ESPN Plus.
How about Yale in their second quarters lately? They scored 11 goals in the second quarter against BU. Then I was watching their game for a minute against Dartmouth this past weekend, and it was like it was tight. It was like a two-goal game. And all of a sudden I see that it was like the finals, 23-9. And it's like Yale just – smack them around in the second quarter and just like put on the gas. So, watch out if you're playing the Eli and that second quarter, man, but this is Yale beating Penn 2 weeks ago. Brown just knocked off the Quakers. Hats off to Mike Daly and his staff. You know, the Ivy League has been a treat this year. A lot of back and forth, a lot of really super competitive games. And this one will be no exception. Yale sitting at 3-1 in the conference. Brown sitting at 1-2. Obviously, the Bears would love to take down the Bulldogs to A, put themselves in better position to qualify for the Ivy League tournament. And a win over Brown is a huge step in that direction. You know, if you're Yale, you're just trying to continue to compete, maybe get that top seed in the Ivy. But should be a really fun game on tap. Two different, a little bit different styles there. You know, Brown, a little bit more free and up and down the field. Yale, again, we've talked about so much this year, a little bit more, you know, brawny, if you will. But this will be a terrific game.
Yeah, I'm excited to see this one. I think it'll be very entertaining. This may be the biggest non-conference game of the weekend take place in upstate New York. When number 12 Army, 9-2, which is having a great season, travel to play to Ithaca to play number 5 Cornell, who's 9-1 overall at 3:00.
You didn't ask me about my trip to West Point this weekend. I called the Army Colgate game on Saturday.
How was your trip to West Point?
It was very nice, thank you. Very nice.
Was your first time there?
First time there since 1994 as a member of the Johns Hopkins Blue Jays.
My brother-in-law, shout out to my brother-in-law. He just had his birthday. He's a West Point grad.
Way to go. Beautiful area. Gorgeous.
A place befitting of our United States Military Academy.
Absolutely.
So let's put it on the banks of the Hudson.
But it was cool to see Army in person. Brendan Nechtern is the real deal. Abshire at the midfield is terrific. This kid Pryor, Shortstick D. Mitty, made two game-changing plays for the Black Knights as they came from behind to knock off a pesky Colgate group. And they head into Ithaca this week to play a Cornell team that's riding high right now. Nice win over Syracuse, come from behind. And that team can score goals, man. They were fun to watch. You know, Piatelli, your boy, John Piatelli, not 9 points on Monday night. So this is a huge game where both teams' RPIs are going to be good, you know, coming out of
it. Yeah, this is like a quarterfinal type of game.
It is. So it'll be a real feather in the cap come Selection Sunday for one of these teams, you know, if they don't win their automatic qualifier in their respective conference to put their best foot forward for an at-large bid.
Yeah, so if you get a chance, tune into this one, 3:00 on Saturday, Army and Cornell. In the Ivy League, number 13, Harvard, 7-2 overall, 2-1 in the league. We'll go to Philly to play number 11, Penn, who needs a win. Penn is ranked 11th in the country. They're 1-3 in the Ivy League. Game is at 3:00 from Franklin Field.
Well, here comes a stretch for the Crimson now. You know, they've got Penn. I think they still have to play Cornell, if I'm not mistaken, and Yale.
Harvard still has to play Penn, Princeton, and Yale.
So now we'll see who the real Harvard is, I think. Lost to Cornell this past weekend. They still have to play Penn, Princeton, Yale. You know, we'll see. This is a tough stretch. Maybe as tough a stretch as anyone in the country is facing. And it continues, you know, against a Penn Quaker team that lost to Brown. I just feel like, I don't know, I don't want to be harsh, but like, I feel like every year Penn has these super high expectations and then we're looking at them at this time of year and they're always like 500 or sub 500 in the conference. Is that unfair?
I don't know. It is unique that the team can be number 11 in the country and they're sixth in their own league. They're sixth in the Ivy League.
They're good. They're good. They can score goals.
They played a tough non-conference schedule.
This is a game where both teams looking to rebound, get back on track in the Ivy League. You know, defensive-minded, Jerry Byrne coach, Harvard team against the fun and gun, Cardiac Quakers under the leadership of Mike Murphy. Again, a contrast in styles. And should be a fun game.
It's an important game for both teams, no doubt.
It's a huge step towards gaining entry to the Ivy League tournament. But you know what? I almost feel like Harvard is playing with house money. They weren't expected to be 7-2 at this stage of the year. Mm-hmm. I don't think. You know, I think a lot of people feel like the Crimson are a year, maybe 2 years away. So I do think they have maybe a little less pressure on them playing with a little bit bigger pot of house money.
I hear what you're saying.
You smell what I'm cooking?
I do. All right, and moving on to the only top 10 matchup of the entire weekend. You will be there calling this game. Number 9, Ohio State. Number 1, Maryland. Before we get your thoughts on the game, Dixie, you had a chance to sit down with Buckeyes head coach Nick Myers. Let's bring in Coach Myers for that.
This week, we are pleased to be joined by Ohio State head coach Nick Myers. Coach Myers, Buckeyes are 8-3, ranked 9th in the country, coming into a big game this weekend against the University of Maryland on the Big Ten Network. You can catch myself and Pete Medhurst on that call. Coach Myers, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Mark. Appreciate it.
So 2022 looks a whole lot different than 2021. The Buckeyes have been able to play out-of-conference games. You've had some success. Obviously, you're in the middle of the grind that is known as the Big Ten. How would you best characterize 2022 thus far for Ohio State lacrosse?
Yeah, you know, like I said, we're not really in that reflective mode at this point. You know, you mentioned it. We're in that week to week and, you know, just focused on chasing our best lacrosse. You know, I think where, you know, I can give you a little sight is just a feeling of the difference between right now and this time last year. And I think that really is just a credit to the staff, the university, and the times that we're in. You know, being able to have the men really have a much more normal summer, you know, having men here in the summertime, 20, 25 guys training, you know, consistently 3-4 days a week, you know, rolling right into a fall where we played Syracuse, Yale, Team USA, UNC, some great outside competition, you know, had a full fall schedule, had a full roster, you know, where it was able to get in the weight room and train at a level that, you know, we're used to. And then really just the fellowship, right? You know, the time spent together on the field, off the field, some of the activities that we do. Bringing all that back, I think, has brought Buckeye lacrosse back, you know, to the standard, to what you expect when you turn the TV on and you watch the Buckeyes play, certainly with the standard we have for our program. So just really, really proud of these men and really thankful for those guys that endured last year, too, you know, that got us through a challenging year. And so it kind of set the table for where we are right now. I think you got a group of men that came into the year with kind of a chip on their shoulder. We were unranked, you know, no preseason All-Americans on the team, you know, so I think for us, it's been, we know what we had coming out of the fall. And I think we're still kind of playing with that mindset. You know, we don't look at ourselves as a top 10 team. We look at a team that people had kind of written off going into the season. And, you know, we're going into each game with an attitude to try to play our very best lacrosse. And, you know, coming out of Hopkins last week, I thought our two captains played, you know, their A game, and Jack Myers and Jackson Reed. But I thought as a team, it was probably something closer to our B minus game. And, you know, I think that's encouraging because before you talk about your opponent, you know, the focus is always internal, right? It's inside. And, you know, if you can get to this point in the year and have an identity, have a sense of how you want to operate, and then really pour into it, you know, and say, hey, man, how can we just be a little bit cleaner? How can we do just a few of the little things just a bit better and in hopes to chase, like I said, just a little bit better version of yourself each week and play your best across when it matters most, right? You know, down the end of April and into May. So that's kind of my sentiment of where we are right now. Obviously a great challenge ahead this Saturday. And, you know, men are working really hard to prepare.
You mentioned the preseason and you guys were predicted 5th in the Big Ten. You mentioned no preseason All-Americans. How do you handle that without overemphasizing it, but pointing out to your guys that, hey, you know, people don't think we're that good?
Yeah, I mean, I think our men had a lot of confidence. They just said, you know, don't forget, and that's who we are. That's who, you know, what people think of you. So when people tell you you're great, when you win a game, we come home from Chapel Hill, and all of a sudden everybody wants to talk to me and everybody wants to talk to our guys and people want to know about Jack Myers. That don't forget, you know, and I think that's kind of it. You're never as far off as you think and you're never as good as you think. And that's more of a life lesson, you know, and I think just, it's not really about reading the rankings or trying to build a fire into the guys. It's being self-aware that like, hey, listen, don't align yourself with what people say you are, you know, and if people say you aren't any good, like don't believe that. You know, and if people tell you you've arrived because you won a game in February, I don't believe that either. You know, and I think it's just making sure that we have a consistent sense of who we are. And that comes from our body of work each day. You know, if we look at the film at practice and it's a hell of a practice, then, yeah, we can be proud of that and know that, hey, man, we had a great Tuesday. And the film says that. And the spirit out there was that. So I think just making sure we take our feedback from the right sources, you know, and that's each other. That's our coaches. That's our blueprint for success. And it's not about like fueling a fire as much as it's just locking our focus in on the metrics and the things that really speak to playing great lacrosse. You know, we've out-ground balled our opponent in all 8 games we've won. The 3 games we've lost, those 3 teams have picked up the ground balls more than we have. I mean, that's just simplified right there, right? Like, so we've played 11 games and we've won 8 that we've picked up more ground balls than our opponent. You know, so like those are the kind of things you can hitch your wagon to, you know, and just challenge your guys with and say, hey, winning lacrosse for us right now starts and ends with picking up more ground balls than our opponent. Because every time we've done that, we're undefeated. And I think that kind of mindset for our men is really important to continue to instill this time of year.
Excellent. Excellent. So, Coach, Columbus is a great place to visit. And whenever I've been in town and others have been in town, you're always a tremendous host. And you always have great recommendations on where to eat. If I'm coming to Columbus for the very first time, what are 3 places that I can't absolutely miss?
Yeah. Well, Mark, I appreciate you saying that. And Columbus is a special place. You know, my wife and I lived here almost 20 years. And last weekend we had our alumni back. You know, we're building this new home for Buckeye Lacrosse. So a year from now, your first stop is going to be in the concession stand of the new lacrosse stadium, you know, and getting a steaming hot dog, getting yourself a refreshment and enjoying the best venue in college lacrosse. There's no doubt about that. So we're all full excited. You know, Quint was in town last week. He wanted a burger, sent him down to Thurman's. You know, you may have heard him mention that on the broadcast, but I think he had a great time. You know, it's a small little shop downtown, but man, they make as good a burger as anybody here. You know, I my staff and I, we kind of bounce around at lunch. You know, there's a lot of good options. You know, it's hard for me to press. I know I'm like living here as long as I have. I start getting too specific, I might get myself in trouble because you're going to leave somebody out. So it's really just going to depend on your taste and your flavors. But just a lot of folks here that, you know, have lived here a long time, that take a lot of pride in being a part of the Buckeye community. You know, and I think that's what I love most is when you walk in any restaurant around here or establishment, whether it's a chain or even it's a private, you know, home, you know, mom and pop type shop, you know, people love the Buckeyes. And, you know, I think that feeling that sense of community around the university and around the city is something that is really special. And it's not something I grew up with in New England and Maine. You know, when I got out here, that really resonated with me. And it's just something I truly love.
I know you've sent me to Buckeye Donuts before, which isn't the healthiest option, but they're fantastic. And then the North Market as well is terrific.
Yeah, two great spots. So you know the lay of the land as well as anybody.
Hey, you know, I was out there for a whole weekend for the Big Ten tournament years ago, 2017. So right. I remember the culinary. I remember the lacrosse. Those are 2 wins right there, 2 wins. You guys, you mentioned the facility, and I want to touch on that in a minute. But I think overarching that facility is the relationship that you and your program enjoy with your athletic director, Gene Smith. There was footage of him addressing your team before the Hopkins game last week. How would you best describe his support and the strong relationship that Buckeye Lacrosse has with him?
Yeah, I'm really grateful for that question. I mean, it's second to none. You know, his leadership in terms of the way he operates, the student athlete experience is always championed. Yeah, that comes first and foremost. When tough decisions are made, you know, he puts the student athlete and their experience first. You know, whether that's NIL, whether that's student assistance fund, a facility being built, you name it. I mean, that's always been the philosophy. You know, the Leadership Institute that's been created here to help Buckeyes in the summer navigate summer training and internship program is unbelievable. You know, our guys are taking advantage of that. So, you know, he's innovative. You know, he's a problem solver. And he brings people together. You know, I mean, 36 varsity sports. We just had our scholar athlete banquet on Monday night. We had a record number of athletes in the department there. For our program, we had 46 of our 47 Buckeyes at the scholar athlete banquet, which is a program record for us. And he recognizes that, you know, he wants every student athlete to have a championship experience in their time here. But he's also, you know, challenged us as coaches to make sure that we're raising the bar in the community. We're making a difference. Our men are getting it done in the classroom, and that message is loud and clear. And he certainly supports that and appreciates that. And I just think, you know, again, you saw him, he was at, like you said, he was at the Hopkins game. He's spending his weekends. He's a very busy man, but I mean, he was there for the whole game. He was down on the field before the game. He's in the locker room before the game, and he came down after the game. You know, and then he went right over to softball after that, you know, and then, you know, right over to a to another game later that evening. So I think his commitment to the athletes, being visible, you know, having boots on the ground and kind of meeting them where they are, knowing their names, connecting with them, and just making them feel really special. You know, this stadium commitment, $22 million plus that we fundraised entirely. But it took Gene to get this thing across the finish line. You know, his vision for the program, his vision for men's and women's across, you know, his ability to fundraise and to support us and get the funds that we needed to make this dream become a reality. It's just awesome. You know, so, you know, he was there with us when we were in the Final Four weekend. You know, he was there all weekend long. And, you know, he's been a part of a lot of the big moments we've had in this program. And I know that there's more to come under his leadership.
Absolutely. The facility. Those that follow Big Ten lacrosse, those that follow Ohio State lacrosse, we've seen the renderings. It's impressive. Other than the concession stand, which I'm very much looking forward to now, based on your recommendation, what else about this facility is going to make it second to none?
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts with our usage every day, right? So it's designed to be our classroom. You know, the stadium is much more than just the 12th. You know, 10, 12 times a year that you use it. I mean, it's a home for your athletes every day, you know, and a lot of times. And so I think we designed it with that in mind. In a location, it's about 50 yards from our locker room, you know, so it's a short walk there, very user-friendly for our athletes. You know, everything that they need is right here in the Schumacher facility, you know, whether that's eating before and after practice, the training room, the locker room, the coach's room, the film room, and now the stadium. Inside the stadium, there'll be an indoor shooting space, wall ball area. The field is going to be heated, you know, so in the wintertime, anything below 40 degrees, the heating system will turn on and keep the field from ever freezing. You know, we got a grandstand, you know, we got a seating berm. We're going to have a north tower that you can stand up on. We'll hold about 200-300 people. So the fan experience will be remarkable. You know, it's going to hold 2,500, 3,000 people. And I think it will provide just a really remarkable fan experience when you're there, something that's very different. We've taken a lot of elements from soccer stadiums and certainly lacrosse specific stadiums, kind of taking one or two things from everybody and try to put it all in together into this design. It's right in between the Covelli and the tennis center. So it's got a very intimate feel. And I just think for our men and women, it's a destination, you know, like this is now a place that I think a young man growing up, not only just in the great state of Ohio, but across the country is going to look at this stadium, look at the commitment that's being made to Buckeye lacrosse, you know, seeing us on that TV almost every week now. And know, hey, listen, this is a place that I can go and get the very best resources in the United States, in North America, and a first-class education, you know. And so I think the fact that you can couple those two together from a recruiting perspective is pretty remarkable. And, you know, we're obviously very excited about that, what Gene has been able to do here at Ohio State with the NIL space and what our athletes are being able to do there. It's a new time. It's a new era in Buckeye lacrosse, you know, that we're entering with the stadium and the times that we're in. I think athletes more than ever are looking that way. They're open-minded to, you know, what their experience is going to be like in college. And I'm just thrilled that Gene and our administration has put Buckeye lacrosse in a position to really be set up for success for years to come.
Sounds exciting. And you mentioned the heated field. I know Joe B and Pete Medhurst, my broadcast partners, will be excited for that. They don't like being cold. That's for sure.
I don't know if the broadcast booth will be as heated as you like, but I know the field will be. So
don't tell Joe that. Yeah. Don't tell Joe.
Yeah. We'll have a better setup than we had for you at Jesse that year in the rain. I remember that.
All so good.
We'll have you guys set up there for sure.
So something that you'll turn your attention to once the Ohio State season is over is the U19. Now it's been, because of the, you know, age difference or whatever, it's a U20, U21 situation, United States going to Ireland this summer. How do you keep, you know, obviously big eye on Buckeye lacrosse, but little eye on that team as you, you know, look to compete this summer?
Yeah, you know, I've had the privilege of, you know, facing a few of the men this spring. You know, almost each week there's another guy on the opposing sideline. And last week, you know, Brendan Grimes. You know, you look at like an Owen Murphy this week was someone that was part of the process. He was an excellent player. He's really coming into his own. You know, guys that we let go that now are out there beating us. I mean, cursed over Cornell is having a heck of a year. But I feel great about our 23. You know, it's never easy getting down to 23, but we were able to, you know, get them out this fall. We had a really kind of special weekend this fall here in Ohio State where they were all here for the most part. and scrimmaged, and I think ended that weekend in a really good place, you know, having had as much time together, but then had that time away with COVID. It was great to spend that kind of weekend and get some great competition. So we understand it's a great responsibility. We have a group chat that we hit, you know, I text guys after the, after games, you know, hit Liam and Cav after their big win last week. And, you know, we kind of go back and forth with each other and, you know, it's a text here, it's a text there to guys, keeping an eye on them, but you know, that it's going to be 2 weeks in August. We're going to go over there and have an opportunity and a huge responsibility to bring back a world championship, you know? And so I think the men are really looking forward to it. It's been a long time coming. You know, we're gonna have a short training camp in June with the senior team kind of combined at US lacrosse headquarters. But, you know, my focus right now is entirely on Buckeye lacrosse. No doubt about that. When the season ends, we'll shift gears to the red, white, and blue and kind of the recruiting season and the focus on Team USA.
This year's Ohio State team, again, 8-3, some big wins in there. The leadership for the Buckeyes. Who are those guys leading the charge and in charge of the locker room in 2022?
Yeah, I mean, our two captains, it's got to start with them and Jack Myers and Jackson Reed. You know, I think that we had leaders in Ryan Tarafenko and Jeff Henrich for the better part of 3 years, you know, and so I think the shift in leadership has been one that's just given a different feel. You know, every team kind of takes on its own personality, and a lot of that stems from the leadership and the way they operate. But I've been so impressed with these men. You know, I think they've had great guys to learn from and the guys I mentioned. But, you know, their ability to meet guys where they are, I think the other seniors in the class has been great. You know, there's that feeling. I had a high school coach at practice today, and he's like, "Coach, I got no idea who your freshmen even are." You know, everybody's ball hunting. Everybody's kind of pulling their weight. You know, guys are dapping each other up. And you love to hear that because that's certainly the environment we want to create. You know, I walk in, you see a junior vacuuming the locker room. You see a guy like George Walsh, you know, filling the water cooler, you know, so it's kind of that servant heart. And I think that starts with Jack and Jackson. You know, Jackson's a guy that's played attack for 4 years. And right now he's playing mostly midfield. He's, you know, whatever it takes, coach, you know, Jack, depending on the week, it's like, "Hey Jack, I need you to set more picks." You know, that's what Jack does. And so I think when your leaders and your captains have that selfless, you know, put others first kind of mentality, it really sets the edge for the rest of the team. You know, it makes it easy for me as a coach to coach guys hard, to challenge guys to buy into their role in the team. When you got leaders that are willing to do that and maybe sacrifice in some cases for the best interest of the team. So they've been great. You know, they really have. I think they're getting a lot of support from a number of guys. I really like our freshmen, you know, our freshman class, our new guys have really kind of bought in, which makes things a whole lot easier. And I think we're at a point in the year where guys, you know, that love for each other is really strong. You know, you want to love each other more in April and May than you do in September. Everybody loves each other in September, you know, when the year starts. And I think when you get to this point in the year, when bullets are flying, it's been a grind, you've been around each other a lot. You know, if your foundation is strong and you speak to each other with that consistent truth and love, I think you can have that energy that really can carry you and maybe even win you a couple of games down the stretch.
The opponent this weekend is the University of Maryland, number one team in the country. You pay a visit to College Park. 2018 was the last time that Ohio State was able to upend the University of Maryland. They were ranked number one at that time as well. What do you see when you look at the Terps this year, and what are some of the challenges that present for your team?
I don't know if we got enough time on the podcast to cover all that, Mark, but I see what everybody else sees. You know, I see a team that's incredibly well coached. They're disciplined, they're organized, and oh yeah, they're probably the most talented team in the country, you know, start to finish, you know, when you look at their attack through their goalie. So yeah, it's a blend of great talent and very well organized and coached. You know, they have a strong identity. They've seen just about everything you can throw at them at this point, whether it's zone, man, no slides, fast slides. They've had an answer for everything. So, you know, it's not as simple as just, "Hey, if you do this," or, "Hey, they're weak here," or, you know, a year ago, people were saying, "Hey, the face off this or that." I mean, now they're number one in the country facing off, you know? So I think, you know, credit to Coach Tillman and his staff for assembling a great team and not only assembling, but also, coaching a great team. You know, we can't get too caught up in them. We got to continue to focus on, can we be a better team than we were last week? And that's really where we land. You know, for us to go into College Park, and be successful, it's got to be about us first and foremost. And it's got to be about us making sure we know who we are. And we go in there and we try to chase the best version of us in efforts to compete and give ourselves a position, a chance to be in position, you know, with 8, 10, 15 minutes on the clock to make a move.
Last question for you, Coach, and we ask this of all of our guests. You mentioned this is the time of year where the bullets are flying. You know, it's a tough Big Ten stretch. What are some things that you might do personally to relax or to get away from it for a few minutes? A television show, music. What are some of the things Nick Myers might do to kind of decompress?
It's a good question. If you ask my wife, you might get a different answer there. I don't know. She says there's probably not enough as much as that as there needs to be. But I have two boys, you know, Mason and Zachary, 9 years old, 11 years old. And, you know, I think just being in the driveway with them is probably where I'm at most peace. You know, I try to leave my phone inside, and whether it's shooting hoops or just having a catch, throwing the football around, shoot, even threw the baseball around the other day. Like, it's kind of like whatever they want to do, you know? And so I think spending time in the driveway, I try to volunteer in our local youth community when I can for lacrosse, you know, whether it's coaching, officiating, that kind of thing. I'm not a bad ref, Mark. I'll tell you, I mean, I'm getting better.
I'd like to see you out there.
Yeah, I got a firm whistle, you know, clear on my communication.
Good mechanics, clear signals,
I'd say average mechanics. But
okay.
You know, I think being around kids is something I love. You know, I was a PE major growing up, so I just love teaching. And I love to fish. So those would be my two things. I don't do very much of that in the season, but if I could do two things that I think really kind of allow me to relax, it's just spending time with my boys, an evening with Julie, and maybe hitting a stream with nobody around.
Outstanding. Coach, we really appreciate your time. Thank you for spending a few minutes with us. Good luck this weekend against Maryland and the rest of the 2022 season.
Thanks. Appreciate you.
What Coach Myers getting out there refereeing a little bit, officiating some lacrosse games? It's got a firm whistle. Is that what he said?
I think so. Hey, listen, everything Nick Myers does is firm.
That's true.
There's no half step in Columbus.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'd love to see him out there reffing. I've seen him on the sidelines at a number of recruiting events when I've been out there. Ohio State is a constant presence at all the recruiting tournaments, showcases, all that kind of thing in the summer. A lot of positive things happening at Ohio State lacrosse, huh?
Yeah, the new facility sounds amazing. The Schumacher Complex is where they're sort of housed, but they're getting a new stadium and a new, you know, playing facility. He's coaching is it the U-30 team now? Like, what team is he coaching?
Yeah, I mean, it's U-19, but they changed the age because of the COVID nonsense. So it might be like U-21 now or something like that.
The guys are coming with their children.
Yeah.
Players have families now.
It's a beer league. Hey, real quick. So that brings up a good point. You see a lot of people talking about, like, the holdbacks and the fifth years and the – guys are this age playing against guys this age. I was having a conversation this week with a former college lacrosse coach. I'm not going to say who it is, but they played collegiate lacrosse decades ago.
Okay.
Decades ago. And this gentleman, when we were talking about a couple of things, he's like, hey, listen, I was a 23-year-old college senior. And being a 23-year-old college senior, I would always look for that freshman midfielder on the other team. That's a guy I'm taking to the cooker. So this stuff has been going on, you know, 23-year-old college seniors, 24 or whatever, for a long time. I just think social media, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff has just, like, really exacerbated the
So you know, you're saying, like, guys who are playing, like, their fifth year of COVID, or, you know, because of COVID, they got an extra year.
Right.
That kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah. The stuff was going on decades ago. Yeah. You know, older guys being – so anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there. But back to Ohio State, Maryland. So, you know, a Buckeye team that – you know, we heard Coach Myers, you know, the Hopkins game last week was like a playoff game to them, and they pulled it out. They came through. So now they're going to Maryland. And, you know, the Buckeyes last beat the Terps in 2018 when Maryland was ranked number one. So does that line up? I don't know, but it's something to pay attention to. It's a little tidbit that I find interesting. Maryland, again, playing at such a high level. They're taking nothing for granted. You know, we talked to Coach Tillman again this week in preparation for the game. And, you know, they are taking nothing for granted. And he actually, he sent a picture of a tweet. Is either a tweet or an Instagram post back when the Arizona Cardinals during this past NFL season were 7-0. And it said, you know, the last undefeated team in the NFL, the Arizona Cardinals. Well, kind of know how the Arizona, you know, finished out, you know, struggled down the last half of the season, made the playoffs, got scorched by the LA Rams, right? They made the wild card, the Cardinals, didn't they?
I think so.
And I think they got wrecked by the Rams in that. And then Kyler Murray was an MVP candidate, and they're like trying to run him out of town.
Yeah. Well, he got hurt and missed some time. Yeah. It's the point is they started great and we don't even remember if they made the playoffs or not, or details of it are a little bit sketchy. So it's really not where you start or where you finish, but it just that mindset that the Terps have it's against human nature. And that's what I think, you know, I asked a buddy of mine who's a Terps fan. I was texting him during the game, and he's the game against Rutgers. And he said, I just don't understand how they can play like full throttle all the time. They never let up. They play with such intensity and focus against, doesn't matter who they're playing. But for four quarters, they play 60 minutes every game, 60 minutes. And that is hard to do. That is hard to get, 18 to 23-year-olds to do consistently.
I think it speaks to their depth. I really do. Let's start. So you really can't play fast unless, one, you have a really good face-off man, and they do, in Luke Weirman. Yeah. That is something that, if you look at a nick in the armor last couple of years, like, Maryland doesn't face off that well. Now they're tops in the nation. Luke Weirman has taken his game to another level. They do have other guys in the hog pen to take faceoffs, but Weirman has been so good that they've stuck with them. Don't forget, this is a Maryland team that won a national championship in 2017 on the back of their third string faceoff man, John Guarino, because he matched up the best against Jake Withers from Ohio State in that final. Look at our short stick D middies. I mean, Roman Puglisi, Jake Higgins, Alex Smith. Those guys are good. they're good. And if the two guys up front get hurt, well, we can throw these two guys in. You can keep running, you know. And then just offensively, the way they spread the ball around, I think, they have seven guys with 20 or more points or goals or something like that. I'd have to nail down that statistic, but – I mean, it's ridiculous. So, but to temper all that, they haven't won a national championship. You know, they haven't even qualified for the NCAA tournament, although it's, you know, probably a foregone conclusion. So there's a lot of lacrosse left to be played. But, man, when you think about a team at this stage of the season performing at the level that they've been playing at, you're hard-pressed to remember a team in recent memory that's been this dominant this deep into the season.
The Jays will get them next week, though.
You think?
Yeah, rivalry game. Jays will get them.
That's going to be the first time in over 2 years that the alumni are going to be allowed to gather in mass at Johns Hopkins. It's alumni weekend. You're looking at me puzzled.
I am looking much puzzled because we just had homecoming. Homecoming was a couple weekends ago.
But that was not lacrosse sponsored.
Right. Okay.
The last lacrosse sponsored get together for Johns Hopkins was 2020 Smoker before the 2020 season.
And the Smoker is a preseason event.
Preseason, where get together,
meet the team, and you know, get build excitement around the upcoming season.
That to me is mind blowing. That the Hopkins alumni have not been able to gather lacrosse wise in over 2 years. I think it's a gigantic mistake myself. But, you know, what do I know? Yeah.
Well, I'm just excited. You know, they're playing the Terps next week. We'll get to talk about their game. We talk about top 20 matchups most of the time on this because we can't get to every game.
I'm not going to be able to go. Because I'll have the Rutgers Penn State game up at Rutgers that Saturday. So I'll be up 95. Are you going to go to the game? Are you going to watch it on TV? Or
I will certainly. I watch all the Hopkins games. But
I know. We'll probably talk about this next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about next week. But is it really a lacrosse alumni gathering if Mark Dixon can't be there?
I mean, it's not really
a party. Absolutely. It's not a party. It's a gathering, but not a party.
Yeah, they're doing a golf outing on Friday, and then there's something on Saturday for the you know, lacrosse alumni. But
man, sounds fun. And anyway, we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, right on.
This week, you'll be covering the game for College Park, 4 o'clock on Saturday on the Big Ten Network. Who are you calling the game with? So it's
Pete Medhurst. Pete Medhurst. Yeah, Joe's got hockey, and there's no Easter game this year. So, you know, we always used to love the Easter egg jokes and the, you know, Cadbury jokes. And, you know, now we just have to do it a day earlier. And it's better for the student athletes. You know, they can spend Easter with their families, or, you know, not have to worry about traveling on Easter Sunday.
That's a good segue into our give and go this week, Dix. With Easter coming up this weekend, we're on spring break here in Howard County, Maryland, and all the schools are on spring break. And I know that it doesn't coincide usually the college spring break sort of in March, and we're in almost the middle of April right now. But I wanted to ask you, as a college lacrosse player, like, do you have any good spring break stories? Now, you weren't able to go on spring break, traditional spring break. You think of, you know, like the movies that were made in like the 80s where kids go to Florida and get in trouble, and, you know, all that
kind hard of bodies
shenanigans.
Spring break.
I was thinking more like Revenge of the Nerds.
That wasn't really a spring break movie, was it?
There was one where they went to Florida and they were on spring break.
You might be right.
But maybe that was like the second one. But there were a ton of those. As a Division I lacrosse player, what was spring break like?
Spring break was fun. We never went anywhere, obviously, because we were playing.
Right.
And we would either have Syracuse or Virginia on our spring breaks. So basically, it's much like the end of the year. Once classes are finished and everyone moves out, you kind of have the whole campus to yourself, and that's what spring break is like. And you feel like a professional athlete because you don't have to worry about class. You don't have to worry about, you know, tutoring or study hall or anything like that, because you're on spring break. All you do is practice and hang out with your teammates. So probably my fondest memory of spring break would have been in 1992. So I had my own apartment and my roommate played football. So he was going to, I don't know, Fort Lauderdale, Daytona, one of those, you know, whatever. So like I would hang out with Jeff Wills and Adam Wright and Drew Burns. We're seniors. And then the other house that I would go to was Brian Tobin, Al Watts. But the common theme was wherever I went, we would have massive NHL 93 tournaments, the Sega hockey game. So we would just eat food, play Sega hockey, go to bed, go to practice, and then repeat, you know, like all week long. The other cool thing is, back then, and I don't know how they do it now, but we used to get cash for per diem because the dining services were all closed. So we would get per diem. And you can make, and I forgot how much we got, but you could make $20 go a long way back then at Mama Lucia's or CNC Carryout.
CNC Carryout. That place.
Yeah. And if you really wanted to shoot the lock off the wallet, you go to Charles Village Pub. You know, and obviously PJ's was a staple, but I mean, you had that per diem money, man. You were going chicken cheesesteak up at Mama Lucia. You were stepping out a little bit. So, you know, it might be a little primitive. I mean, honestly, it was just being around the guys all the time and just having fun, you know, and not having to worry about class, not having to worry, you know, just worry about playing and winning in Sega Genesis, you know, in NHL 93.
Great memories. great memories.
What about you? Did you go on spring break?
No, I never went anywhere.
Really?
Except my senior year, I went to like Florida, like Gulf Coast with a couple of guys. And that was pretty fun. There was some we had a good time that. We drove all the way to Florida in guy's little like sports car kind of thing. I think I was in the back seat most of the way. And it was the stereotypical college spring break experience. It was fun. But we stayed with the guy's grandparents, one of the guy's grandparents.
What?
Yeah. But it was a good time. But other than that, I didn't really go away. You know, I didn't have any cash or money to do anything.
So right.
I remember one year, I think my sophomore just went home, and I don't know what I did the other times, but I always think like spring sport athletes are always, they're in season and they can't really right. go do what they're doing. All right. Seems like a good place to stop, Dix. Again, great schedule of games this weekend. So please check it out. Get out and, you know, enjoy this nice weather. If you're not traveling somewhere for Easter, get out and see your favorite team play. We would like to thank our guests this week, Ohio State coach Nick Myers. Thanks for joining us, and best of luck this week and throughout the rest of the season. If you like what you heard, please like us on your favorite podcast app. Leave a review. It helps other people find the D-Fly and Dixie podcast. And better yet, tell a friend. Share the love. It is free to do that. We always like to hear from you. Give us a shout out on Twitter. He's at Dixon Lacrosse, and I'm simply at D_FLY. Remember, stay positive, test negative, and as always, enjoy the games.